And now the opinion page. This past weekend, Pope Benedict issued a letter of apology to Irish Catholics after many decades of sexual abuse by priests and cover-up by their superiors came to light. The letter was read in churches across the country, in which the Pope says he is truly sorry for the tragedy. It's a long letter. We've posted a link to the full text at our website. But it reads, in part, "In order to recover from this grievous wound, the Church in Ireland must first acknowledge before the Lord and before others the serious sins committed against defenseless children. Such an acknowledgement, accompanied by sincere sorrow for the damage caused to these victims and their families, must lead to a concerted effort to ensure the protection of children from similar crimes in the future." In the Irish Times, religious affairs correspondent Patsy McGarry gives the pastoral letter a mixed review, a significant step on the road to reform that, nevertheless, he writes, ignores reality. We want to hear from Catholics in our audience. After our own sad litany of abuse and cover-up, what would you like to hear from Pope Benedict? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And again, you can join the conversation at the website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. There you can also read Patsy McGarry's op-ed. Again, npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. And the writer joins us now from his office at the Irish Times in Dublin. Patsy McGarry, thanks for being with us on Talk of the Nation.
My pleasure, Neil.
And why don't you tell us the good news first? What did you like about the paper?
Yeah, note? Well, I suppose let's start on a positive note. I mean, the language, for a start, was refreshingly accessible. It didn't have a lot of theological terms. It didn't have any, really, that we often associate with papal encyclicals or such documents. The English was plain. It was direct. His words to people who had been abused were quite sincere and moving. His words to priest abusers were very, very blunt, no holds barred. His words to priests who were innocent priests who were tarred by association with this shocking problem were also very sympathetic and moving in themselves. And for me particularly, I suppose, I was very impressed by the frankness with which he criticised fellow bishops, some fellow bishops here in Ireland, for their grave errors, their failures of leadership, and their serious mistakes in dealing with this abuse issue. He encouraged them to follow church norms in the future in dealing with it, and most importantly, to cooperate with civil authorities, a problem that we've had in the past here, as indeed you've had in the United States.
Indeed.
And he also called for transparency and decisive action.
You said one of the most important things he wrote was a decision to hold an apostolic visitation of certain dioceses, and that is language that some of us might have a little trouble parsing. What does that mean?
Well, you have one over there already yourselves. There is an apostolic visitation to female religious congregations in the United States to bring them into line with Vatican orthodoxy. Here, it'll involve seminaries, religious congregations, and some dioceses. It's not clear which ones, he doesn't say. And it will have a similar function. Basically, Vatican officials will come over here and look at these places and see where they are or are not deviating from ideal practice for the Vatican itself is concerned. Basically, it's a vote of no confidence in the way things have been done here, and it's something of a slap in the face for our bishops.
Nevertheless, those bishops are remaining in place, are they not?
Well, it's only 2 days since the letter itself came out. Some of them are under severe pressure since the Murphy report into what went on in the Dublin Archdiocese, where clerical child sex abuse was concerned, was published at the end of November. One of those has resigned already. Three others have offered their resignations, and they have yet to be accepted by the Pope. One remaining is under severe pressure to resign. And last week, it turned out that the Cardinal Primate of All Ireland, Sean Brady, has questions to answer going back 35 years when he swore two teenagers to secrecy in a canonical trial and didn't report the matter to the police or to the health authorities.
Indeed. The Pope has some questions to answer about his actions when, as Cardinal Ratzinger, Catholic officials all across the world to basically keep quiet about these things.
This is too true, Neil, and I mean, it somewhat lessens his authority in addressing the issue where Ireland is concerned, but he remains Pope, even if he has questions to answer himself. On the more negative side about the letter, he did blame secularisation and moral relativism for clerical child sex abuse, the incidence of it here in Ireland, which is a bit ridiculous, to say the least, about it, because the time in Ireland when it was most loyal to Catholicism would have been the middle decades of the 20th century when orphanages, industrial schools and residential institutions were run for children by 18 religious congregations here in Ireland. And the Ryan report last May exposed shocking abuse, sexual, physical, emotional abuse and neglect of children, tens of thousands of them in those residential institutions through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s in Ireland. Long before Vatican II, long before secularisation ever hit these shores, and the basis which he says is the cause for it all, that we must see it in that context. So it does make his letter, that part of it anyhow, look ridiculous.
And you argue that, in fact, this is his particular hobby horse, and he has no place putting Ireland's sufferings in this particular context.
No, I mean, he's been harping on about this since he moved to Rome in the early 1980s to the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, a type of rollback on the more liberalizing moves of Vatican II, and he tends to see everything in the light of secularization and moral relativism, and I do believe it diminishes the shocking tragedy that we've had in Ireland through clerical child sex abuse and the suffering that people endured, to have it reduced to a simple weapon in his war against secularization.
And there are... As in our own set of scandals in this country, there were priests in Ireland who said, I tried to blow the whistle, and were shuffled off into obscurity, if it will.
Absolutely. I mean, the case that gave rise to the current crisis facing Cardinal Sean Brady at the moment was that of Father Brendan Smith, a notorious priest who abused children for approximately 40 years and was simply moved from parish to parish to parish in Ireland, in Scotland, and in your country. And there was a fellow priest of his, he was in the Norbertine congregation, warned back as far as 1968 about this man's carry-on. He went to his superiors, he went to the papal nuncio at the time, he went to the local bishop, and they all ignored him. That man left the order eventually and was killed in an accident later in Germany. But his experience, sadly, is not unique. Indeed, you've had some examples in your own country.
Is there any instance in this letter of saying... We, the church in Rome, should also take some responsibility in this affair?
Absolutely not. Even though the Vatican, the congregation indeed, of which he'd been prefect for so long, until he became Pope in 2005, refused to cooperate and indeed ignored all correspondence with the Murphy Commission set up by this state to investigate how clerical child sex abuse allegations were handled in Dublin's Catholic Archdiocese. So too did the Papal Nuncio to Ireland. He ignored two such letters. He refused to appear before our Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee last month to talk about it. So, I mean, the Vatican has been somewhat, to be kind about it, disingenuous in that element of its own role where abuse in Ireland is concerned. And furthermore, it refused to give recognition or backing to three sets of guidelines introduced by the Irish bishops, child protection guidelines, that is, in 1996, in 2005, and again in 2008. Whereas they did give such backing to your bishops' guidelines in 2002 and 2006.
The Papal Nuncio, as you mentioned, is essentially the Vatican's ambassador to Ireland.
Yes.
Would he now be covered by this? The Pope's urging to cooperate with secular authorities?
Well, we've had no indication that he has or will.
That remains to be seen, I guess. We're talking with Patsy McGarry on the opinion page this week, religious affairs correspondent for the Irish Times, about the pastoral letter that was read aloud in Irish churches over the weekend from Pope Benedict XVI, apologizing for the sexual abuse and cover-up scandal that would sound all too familiar to many Americans. And we want to hear from our listeners today. What would you want to hear from Pope Benedict? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Stephanie. And Stephanie with us from Caldwell in Idaho.
Hi. Hey, I've got a question a comment, I guess, about what I would have liked to have seen addressed. And that would be how this happens and why it's so rampant in the Catholic Church with these priests. And is there anything that can be done for this to be prevented in the future rather than just laying blame and guilt at this point?
Is there anything prescriptive in the papal letter?
Not really. I mean, the apostolic visitation we spoke about, and there are some spiritual exercises too as well, which the bishops are advised to undertake, fasting, penance, retreats, that sort of thing. But there's no, suggestion. I think the lady is indicating that possibly celibacy is an issue. And, I mean, that would be a fairly widespread view. The first statutory inquiry into how the church handled clerical child sex abuse allegations in this country was in 2005, and it found that celibacy was a factor in the abuse.
Stephanie, does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, somewhat, but I just wish something more could be done, to help prevent this rather than, focusing so much on the guilt and the blame now. Mm-hmm. Do something, to help prevent and, help these priests in the very beginning before, the behavior even happens.
Stephanie, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And she was talking about how rampant it is, and that's a question that's come up in the investigations in this country as well. How widespread is this? A few rotten apples, or is this worse than that?
No, we're way beyond the few rotten apples phase. That was an initial explanation. I mean, you've had a pretty massive problem in your country. It's erupted in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, here, laterally in Germany, Holland, lately in Italy, some South American countries, and really it seems to be compounding in terms of the growth of it. It was described last week by a Vatican spokesman as a tsunami-type effect. So it's beginning to erupt everywhere. I mean, significant in this has been the role of the media in your country, here, I suppose, and in other Anglophone countries particularly. And it was interesting that in Germany it was the media again who got to work and began to expose it there. And I suspect that that will be a pattern repeated elsewhere.
We're talking on the Opinion Page this week with Patsy McGarry, religious affairs correspondent for the Irish Times. And again, you can read his op-ed that appeared in this paper, in that paper, by going to our website at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Buzz. And Buzz with us from Aspen in Colorado.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
Listen. By the way, my last name's McGarry to you, Patrick.
Wow.
Are we related?
Many of us out there, you know.
So, listen, yeah, I'm a former altar boy with a priest and a former nun in my extended family. And if in the U.S., the kind of stuff that's going on, we're done in by the Catholic Church, we're done in daycare centers, all those centers would be shut down, those people would be going to jail. And when you look around the global problem with these abuses, these things could not be happening were it not for the fact that it was a giant conspiracy perped by the Catholic Church. And to me, the fact that these guys aren't going to jail in droves really, really irritates me.
In this country, Patsy McGarry, some of these cases were covered by the statute of limitations. After a certain period of time, they could not be charged. And obviously, another case.
You know what? But when Cardinal Mahoney out in L.A. Swished these guys out of the country so they wouldn't be prosecuted, that guy's still popping off.
I was going to ask Patsy McGarry, do such preventions from prosecution exist in Ireland? Have any priests been sent to jail, or are there other religious systems?
Absolutely. Quite a few have done jail terms, and some of them are currently before the courts. I don't think the statute of limitations operates to the same degree here as it does in the United States. As I say, some of the more notorious ones are currently going through their second and third cases before the courts here. So, and it was the jailing of one of the man I spoke about earlier on, Brendan Smith, mm-hmm. in Northern Ireland and then here in the Republic of Ireland, which led to the exposure of this whole phenomenon from the start, back in 1994 in Northern Ireland and 1997 here in Dublin.
Yeah, you know, something we're talking about, not only in this country, but across the globe, a worldwide conspiracy, top to bottom.
All right.
Well, in 2001, the current Pope, then Cardinal Ratzinger, as prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, sent two letters to every Catholic bishop in the world, one directing that all allegations, all credible allegations of clerical child sex abuse be referred to him in Rome, and he would decide whether it would be dealt locally in the diocese or by him. And the second letter, also in Latin, both were in Latin, instructed that this be kept secret. Now, they say that in that letter, their defense of it is that it didn't say you shouldn't cooperate with civil authorities or report to police. But there's no mention of civil authorities or police whatsoever in either letter. And with the injunction to be secret, the human reaction is not to talk about any of these things to anybody.
Buzz, thanks very much. And a good Irish name that is.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Buzz or McGarry.
Also McGarry, yes. Bob's with us from Central California.
Really quickly, my wife was abused by a priest that was put into the priest protection program out of Central Ireland, and he came to Central California. And when my wife complained to the Archdiocese of Central California, she was treated with some type of an inquisitional type arrangement and really made to feel uncomfortable. She left the church and now is part of the largest growing religious affiliation after leaving the Catholic Church, and that's atheism. And thank you for taking my call.
All right, Bob. Thanks very much, and we're sorry for your wife. wife suffering. Can I ask Patsy McGarry, we've read your op-ed and heard a little bit about it. Can you tell us about other reaction to the Pope's letter in Ireland?
It's been fairly mixed. We have a lot of abuse representative groups here, and they've been fairly divided. Some are very disappointed, particularly that he hasn't acted on the resignations that have been offered to him to date, that he hasn't offered to meet Irish abuse victims so far, though people believe that that will happen in time. Some are happy with it and welcomed it, about two groups did in particular, and have asked to see Cardinal Brady to discuss the matter further. Among the Catholic faithful, the ordinary Catholics themselves, there's a fairly mixed reaction also. People are still in shock over here, particularly older Catholics were reeling after the findings of the Murphy Report that there was a concerted cover-up of this issue in Dublin for so long that archbishops and bishops, as the Murphy Report found, were only concerned with the damage scandal could do to the institution, the protection of its assets, and the protection of what the report described as its most important people, the priests. It also found that the welfare of children in the earlier period investigated, it was a 30-year period, wasn't even a factor for the Church's concern. And that really has stunned loyal old Catholics in Ireland.
We just have a few seconds left, but are the Church's assets vulnerable to civil suit as they were in this country?
Well, of course they are, and people have been taking successful civil actions against the Church. It has paid out millions of euro in compensation and will pay out more. In fact, one diocese has appealed for help to its congregations to assist it in paying compensation and indeed, ironically, in paying its legal fees, which they use to try and frustrate this whole business from coming out.
Patsy McGarry, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Very welcome, Neil.
Patsy McGarry, religious affairs correspondent for the Irish Times, with us on the phone from his office in Dublin. Again, you can get a look at his op-ed and get a link to the Pope's letter to the Irish Catholics at our website at npr.org. Tomorrow, Iraq, 7 years on, given the horrific cost in blood and treasure, what did the war accomplish? A new debate is emerging. Join us for that tomorrow in this hour. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.